ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The multilateral effort to try and quell violent gangs, which in recent years have largely overrun the capital, Port-au-Prince, is growing. This morning's vote in Manhattan approves the Kenyan-led year-long mission, with 1,000 police officers coming from Nairobi and hundreds more from neighbouring countries. Widlaw Merencourt is the editor-in-chief of the Aibo Post in Haiti, and he's a contributor for the Washington Post. He joins me now from Port-au-Prince. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Could you just describe to us what is the security situation like where you are in Haiti?
Well, I am right now in Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. It's the main and the most important city in the country. We're close to 80% of this part of the country controlled by gangs. In the south, the main route that brings, people from the outside of the capital to the capital are closed or controlled by gang members. And you have also multiple slums like Cité Soleil or Carrefour Feuille who are, under attack, by gangs. And, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, thousands of people were displaced because of this gang violence problem. And it's a problem that is, going further from the capital and into places in the country where historically we did not have a gang violence problem.
Okay, so tell me about what an international force will do and whether you think it will be able to restore some order.
Well, I am reporting this actually for Ibo Post and the Washington Post, and what I can say is people are extremely skeptical on one side because of the history of international intervention in Haiti. Remember, from the 1915 to 1934, we have the U.S. occupied Haiti, and during that time, multiple people were killed. People were wounded, and they took over, the whole country. And the legacy of this occupation, the U.S. occupation, is still alive today. The U.S. collaborated, with the dictatorship of Duvalier between 1957 to 1986, and in the 1990s we had intervention by international forces. In 2004 we had the UN, we came to Haiti. In 2010 they bring cholera to the country. About 10,000 people were killed and close to 800,000 were infected by the disease, and we have a resurgence of this disease last year in October. So people are extremely skeptical by international interventions that have this legacy of this brutal and dark legacy. But at the same time, if you ask people in the streets, they will tell you that they are extremely exhausted by the current gang situation. Most of the gangs that committing crime in Haiti are coming from the U.S., so that's something people want actions on. And many people will tell you that they think, if we are to have sustainable solution, the Haitian National Police that was created in the 1990s, but is still understaffed and underpaid, needs to have a role going forward. But also the Haitian army that was also disbanded and reconstructed in the past years needs to also have some say in where the country should go.
So are you expecting the violence will worsen at first when they hit the ground?
Well, it's difficult to know. It's difficult to know. A minister from Kenya was explaining the other day that they don't expect a lot of violence. I think they are, extremely confident, because if we are to be certain of one thing, is the gangs in Haiti are vicious. These are people who commit murder You know, every day who raped kids and young women, who go to slums and burn people alive with inside their own houses. And we have also reports of abuses of drugs and all sorts of things. So it's extremely difficult to kind of predict how they will react. But at the same time, we observed since Kenya offered to help and to lead this force, we observe an uptick in terms of gang violence and attacks on the civil population. So I cannot predict how they will react, but to say that they will just give up their arms and become peaceful citizens would be delusional.
Well, yeah, there hasn't been any examples of it at this stage, has there? There are also concerns about the size of this mission. Kenya's sending, 1,000 troops? I know peacekeeping missions in the past have been much bigger than that. How about capacity?
Absolutely. Many details, are to be determined when it comes to this force. I mean, the first thing, as you said, is the capacity. In how many people are we talking about? The Kenya pledged 1,000 person. Many other countries pledged to send some, undisclosed number of people. But you have to remember, we are a population of about 10 to 12 and sometimes 15 millions. We do not have a correct census for the past years. We have a population that speaks French and Creole. I mean, the overall majority of people speaks Creole. And you have a force that will be led by Kenya with folks who do not speak French, who do not speak Creole, and who do not know actually the geography and the custom and how people go about their lives here. So the concern is about how many people are we talking about? Because if 10,000 police officers from Haiti, of course, were not properly armed, but at the same time, many of them actually are there and they want to do the job, but they are still not capable of doing that. If they cannot do it, do people expect that 1,000 plus maybe Kenyan force will be able to do it? And also, bringing the force is one thing. Maintaining the positions that the gangs were occupying before, I'm thinking about, for instance, the south of the capital, is another thing. How the relationship with the population will be, and we also have how people reacted recently. During the MINUSTAH, which was the UN mission in Haiti, that ended in 2017, Haitian people do not tolerate abuses. And we have multiple reports of forces in Kenya being implicated in, outright human rights abuses. So these are things that will be, a little bit concerning if they start to happen in Haiti. And that would, turn the population against the force pretty quickly.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning and explaining this situation. Take care.
Thank you.
And that's Widlaw Merancourt, and he's the editor-in-chief of the Aibo Post in Haiti and contributor for The Washington Post. And you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.